Illinois State Representative Terry Bryant's joining us. First off, morning. It's good to see you again. How's things in Springfield this week?
It was a little bit crazy. Today's the filing deadline for bills, and so everybody's kind of scrambling to figure out if LRB, the office that kind of puts your research together for you, has their bills ready to come out. Some of them are not, so everyone's scrambling to get their bills filed.
And to find out what they want to support for the coming year.
Right, because sometimes agencies will bring you a bill and want you to carry it, and then you have to decide if you agree with that bill or not.
All right. So as we look to the March 20th primary, and you know your experience with Illinois, I want you to ask, it's the same question, but two different categories. How do you define Illinois? Number one, what's our political situation in Illinois right now? How do you define it?
Well, it's a little sketchy. You know, I would say if you're going to define it, we're a little bit in flux still. This state, everyone wants to kind of put us into a bubble, if you will, and this is a very diverse state. So what the needs are from the Chicago area are not the same as the needs down here. So we have to be careful that as we talk about the state, we realize that we have very different needs from all over.
And there's a couple of things where I would say, yeah, I kind of get that. This new bail reform, mm-hmm. I think that's
right.
A good example.
Yeah.
I think maybe pushing pension funding to the local level may have a different impact downstate than it would with a larger tax base to the north. So, yeah, I kind of, if you do, you categorize it. I mean, a lot of people have talked to me over the years, Southern Illinois Democrats are a lot more Republican. I mean, you hear different kind of phrases.
Well, in saying that about pushing the pensions to the locals, even in the northern areas, when you get into the collar counties in particular, they have a huge property tax burden, very similar to Jackson County. And to push that burden over to an area that already has very high property taxes and maybe causing those property taxes to go up, they're in as big a panic as we are in reference to doing that pension shift.
So how do you define the state of Illinois financially? How do you describe our current status?
I would say better. Okay, we're still in trouble. We went from a $16.5 billion deficit to about $8.5 billion right now. And there's always about $5 billion kind of in the pipe. So what we're really trying to figure out right now is that $3.5 billion that has to be paid. There's still vendors that are in trouble. So I think that as we start to see the new revenue come in, and if we are on a very strict fiscal diet, we don't expand programs, we don't start new programs, we're headed in the right direction, but very slowly.
In election year, people run on running new programs, all right?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be nice. I told Mike Bost one time, I wish I would have gone to the legislature 20 years ago when you could bring some pork home. But even in that, I don't know if you know, but today is the first day of permanent staff going to Murfreesboro, the new reentry program. So there's some new folks that are going over there today. It's their new permanent site, and I've got a request in to be able to stop by and say hi to them a little bit later today.
Good to hear that. How would you get the budget under control? You get ultimate control now.
Right.
Right? But you're still responsible for paying the bills and using what you have available. How would you single-handedly balance the budget?
So we have enough revenue coming in. I think that revenue, and again, allowing for no expansion of new programs and not starting new programs, will eventually get us there. Our pension, the part of our pension problem has been the ramp. We're going to see within the next decade that ramp starts to level off. So if we can be fiscally conservative, make sound decisions going forward. We're not out of trouble yet, but I would say we need to have a budget, not perfect this past time, but had we not had that $2.5 billion being held by agencies, we were the budget was $600 million in the black. Then all of a sudden you turn around and find out agencies have been holding $2.5 billion
in bills
that we now are talking about having to have a supplemental appropriation for.
An even larger number, and that is pension. And you can go anywhere from $190 billion to $230 billion very easily in your description of the pensions. Mm-hmm. How are we going to take care of the pension issues? Earlier this morning and yesterday, we replayed it yesterday morning with this current pension plan. I talked to Randy Dunn yesterday. He says, if we go on this four-year arc and the way it's projected, that the sum for our pension and health care would be our total financial, our entire state budget.
True.
How do we take care of the pension problem in Illinois and get off the back of the milk carton for the pension problem child of this country?
Well, there is a plan out there. I think I've talked to you about it before. Representative Mark Batnick has a plan that would actually offer totally voluntarily those who are already in the pension system a buyout of sorts, where you offer to give them 75% of exactly what they would be paid over X number of years. So you figure your life expectancy is, let's say you're 55 and they determine they would pay you to
78.2.
So you go 20 years at 12 months a year, and this is how much you would get per month. That's 75% of that is offered. That 75% is then bonded. So the money goes into the system. So those who want to stay in the system, it stays healthy. Those who want to get out own their money. It's a win for the individual. It's a win for the state because it takes that off of the burden of having that liability to the pensions, and it's a win for the taxpayers. It's not getting legs, and I think it's not getting legs because it makes too much sense. And so I'd like to see us look at that a little closer.
Property taxes are another huge issue. If you want to take a look at the research about why people are leaving Illinois, taxes and property taxes are a big part of that survey information. And now more interest, you know, you've got people say we should cap property taxes while at the same time saying, look, you should take care of the pensions and how we fund our schools' property taxes. Those two things cannot coexist.
Yeah, so we have a new funding formula in place for the schools. And the state of Illinois, our Constitution says we have to pay for our public schools. We should be spending 51% of what the state should be funding, at least 51% of that. They have not been doing that. Under the new school funding formula, the state is going to be picking up more of the money that really should go to those schools. The hope is then that locals will begin to bring down that property tax burden on folks. But we can't have a cost shift going to the locals at the same time that we're trying to give them relief on school funding. So it's going to be a real push right now on the governor's plan to, you know, I'm not in favor of this cost shift, and neither should anyone else be down here.
All right. Higher education, which, you know, I mean, when you talked about the tax increase and your vote there, you went right to SIU, and people ask you why you did it. Said, look, we got to do something. We got to do something to stand behind SIU and help it. How are we going to fund our schools? If we don't move property taxes, we don't increase taxes, how will we continue to fund higher education in K through 12? How does education need to be funded in downstate Illinois?
That is the exact issue that we addressed in the new school funding formula. So the neediest schools in that funding formula get the most money. I think I have 32 school districts in the 115th. 29 of the 32 school districts are in Tier 1. The other three are in Tier 2. That means we get the most money. So some people were talking about a Chicago bailout. I'm wondering why Chicago's not shouting at us and saying, hey, they gave the 115th a bailout, because we're going to see a lot of money starting to come into this region, and it's specifically because of the new school funding formula that I voted for.
What are your principles and priorities intrinsic to your district alone, your goals to help your district, not the state?
Well, again, school funding. We have schools that have 80 to 100% free and reduced lunches. So we have to be a very loud voice in making sure that those schools are funded. We have a large senior citizenry in this district. I'm working on some legislation that would stop some elder abuse. Those are things that we have to keep in mind. And honestly, with this school shooting that just happened, there's an immediate call for gun control. We have to remember that it isn't just our cultural, what we culturally do here in appreciating our Second Amendment, but we also have far distances from law enforcement, and we're going to have to make sure that we protect those Second Amendment rights. So I would say schools, our Second Amendment rights, and of course, you know, I'm a pro-life individual, and I'm going to be working to overturn House Bill 40, which the governor signed, and at the very least, not be using taxpayer money for abortions.
About 60 seconds here that we have left. Illinois State Representative Terry Bryant, you'll see her on the March 20th primary. There will be two Republicans on the primary ballot March 20th, the other Dr. Paul Jacobs, the incumbent Terry Bryant. What do you tell your constituents, the voters of your district, why Terry Bryant March 20th?
I take this job very seriously. You may remember that I resigned my position with the Department of Corrections, a job I really enjoyed, and did this. I'm doing this full time. Two district offices every day working at this 7 days a week. This is a hard job. I'm 100% committed. My opponent seems to think this is another hobby for him. It's hard work, not a hobby.
Illinois State Representative Terry Bryant. Terry, thanks for coming over
today, too. Thanks for having
me today. I'm kind of curious how things go at Department of Corrections today with you.
Yeah,
what time will you get over there today?
I don't know.
You want to talk that into the mic.
Oh, yeah.
Get excited.
I'm waiting for permission. I have to, you know, they have to say it's okay for me to go, but I'm hoping to go over about 10 o'clock or so.
How many employees?
Eventually, it'll be 100. I think today it's maybe 10 or 12.
Okay. Because I'd heard 30.
So. Yeah, well, I'm talking about day shift. So, yeah, overall 30.
Gotcha.
Looking still for the inmates sometime between March 1st and April 1st, and fully running, hopefully by April 1st.